This is the workshop on Gen Zs, and hopefully you're in the one you intended to come to. The plan today is pretty simple. We're going to go through the handout that you have and have a bunch of extra comments to make on that and a few other things, and then we're going to work on what does it look like to mobilize Gen Zs. It's not easy. Let's start with prayer because we need supernatural enablement here. Father, we look to you that you'd provide, open our hearts and minds, cause us to grasp what it is that you want us to pick up today that would make a difference in what you're trying to do in our campus ministries. And thank you for the people like Sean McDowell and others that have really worked hard to understand and then communicate that clearly to the rest of us that we're able to understand and make appropriate responses. And thank you for Truman being here today, who is a Gen Z that can help us with that. And so we trust you for what's going to happen today in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Josh McDowell's son, Sean, are you familiar with him? He wrote a book on Gen Zs, and you'll see it in your notes there. And a lot of what we're going to cover today comes from that. What I tried to do is put together some stuff for you that would be succinct and quite readable that would help in terms of understanding. Gen Zs are basically the folks that were born in 1996 through about 2017, so about 20-year span. The people that have been born since 2017 are called Generation Alpha. So we have boomers, and then we have
Busters.
Busters or Gen X. Right. Then
millennials
or Gen Y originally, but pretty much are known as millennials now, and then Gen Z. And so basically Gen Zs are your undergrads that at your university. But as you'll see in just a minute, recruiting those folks to help you in your ministry is going to be critical to the success of your ministry to reach Gen Zs. Wow. Okay.
Millennials is from like when?
It's in your notes here. I've forgotten off the top of my head. But it's helpful. I mean, understand, hey, all this is generalizations, which by definition means it's true mostly, but there are lots of exceptions. And so we're going to speak stereotypically of groups of people. That's typically a bad plan, but we're going to try because the idea is to help us understand. And the reason is basically that Gen Z is like no other generation that you've run across. They're quite unique. And because of that, it's really hard, you know, for like someone like myself who's a boomer to relate to. There's not a generation gap between me and Gen Zs. There's two generation gaps, okay, making it much more difficult. So the first thing is this is a document that says 9 important insights on Gen Zs. This was put together by Sean McDowell, PhD, university prof, son of Josh McDowell. So other terms, selfie generation, iGen, post-millennials, app generation. First of all, they're digital natives, which means that with a lot of them, before they could talk, they were swiping on their parents' phone because of some game that they were involved with or some entertainment deal that they had on that. And teenage members of Gen Z, it says, are connected nearly every waking hour of the day. Stop for a minute and think what that means. Connected every waking moment of the day. What's the influence of social media on how they think and what their worldview is? What are the implications of that? Gigantic. And we'll look at more detail on that in just a minute. Secondly, entrepreneurial. They see how easy it is to market your time and resources in order to make money. Uber, Lyft. What does it say? two out of three, or almost three out of four, want to start their own business. Great. How many startup businesses fail?
Four out of five.
Yeah, a little over 80% fail, right? So pretty much it's a setup to fail, but they don't know that because that's not the impression they've gotten from what they've seen. Thirdly, diverse. This is the last generation that'll have a majority of Caucasians. Wow, fascinating, isn't it? You know what the makeup of the Dallas Independent School District is? This is from the Dallas Morning News. It's 66% Hispanic. It's 30% Black. It's 1% Asian. The guys that are good with math have discerned that it's only 3% Caucasian. Dallas Independent School District. Something like 300,000 kids. Whoa! Where are the Caucasian kids? Private schools and homeschool. Drive down the street next to mine, and it's sign after sign after sign of the private schools, and we're not in a rich neighborhood. So diverse. This has implications for your ministry because Gen Zs expect diversity. In fact, if it's not diverse, one of the reasons that they're not in church is because most of the people there look like you. And that's why they're not there. Whoa, think about that. So that has serious implications for how you do ministry on campus. Gen Zers have grown up experiencing diversity. They're overwhelmingly positive about that. Number four, less religious identification. 2015, 30% of incoming college students identified with no particular religion. From the Pew Research, they're the folks known as the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S, no religious affiliation. So about a third of the Gen Zs are nuns. About a fifth, that's not much, are Christian, identify as Christian, and then roughly half identifies nominalist or secularist, or they're from a mainline denomination.
Can you repeat the one-third?
Nuns, one-fifth Christian, and then about half are nominal or secularists. I realize there's a lot over. The reality is the vast majority have no real religious affiliation. They're secularist. Why are they secularist? Because they're surrounded by it. So it's their worldview. See, ultimately all this comes down to how do you create your worldview? Culture is tacit. That means it's assimilated, not learned necessarily. You know, so you ask the fish, what's the water like? And the fish goes, what's water? Right, exactly. Well, that's when you gain culture that way, you don't even realize it. Now, how did all of us learn about different cultures? As we encountered the cultures, as we saw the differences and identified, oh, that's different from the way I was raised. That's how we've learned about culture. Yeah, Linda.
So the one-fifth that are Christians, they're also and the reason I'm bringing this up is like I have come from a family of six and I have younger siblings and their kids are these.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever off their phones, but they're in church, they're Christians and everything, but their Instagrams, if you look at them, you'd never know they're Christians.
Yeah, right, exactly. We're going to get into that a bunch more here in a minute. Actually, Barna's research is only 4% of Gen Zs have a Christian worldview.
Okay,
so that's like 1 out of 20.
They're in the church, but they're still...
Yeah, we're going to talk about more of that in just a minute because are you aware that a third of the girls in your church youth group identify as lesbian or transgender? I read that and I'm like, no way. So I walked out my back gate and into the church that my house backs up to, knocked on the door of the youth pastor. He's got 100 people in his youth group. I said, I just read that a third of the females in youth groups identify as lesbian or transgender. Is that the case with you? And he says, yes, my biggest problem. That and the parents that are going nuts. Whoa. The answer is most.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's because of the environment that they're in.
Yeah, we'll get into more of that here in a minute. So a lot of this is just kind of shots over the bow. This is why we need to learn it. It is so different than what we've experienced growing up or even on campus. Let's see. Number five, blurry. Formerly distinct lines are now considered blurry. Technology has blurred the lines between home and work, study, entertainment, public, private. Gen Zers have a different experience of family, same-sex households, working moms, stay-at-home dads, three-parent families, couples choosing not to have kids. Nuclear family will make up less than a third of all families in 4 years. Whoa. What's that going to do to the culture? Yeah. Imagine what it does to the kids in terms of stability. I'm a psychologist by training. You know, this is bad news for the culture. Okay. Let's see. Of course, gender and romantic identities have become blurry as well. Are you aware that there is a sociological term called a craze? It's not a vernacular, it's actually a sociological term that's taking place now in terms of the gender fluidity among teenage girls. That's what I just talked about. It's crazy. I mean, that's vernacular crazy in terms of why that's the case. I was just at a conference before coming here at Ridgecrest Conference Center called Hope 2022, and it was 200 folks that had left the gay, lesbian, and transgender lifestyles and parents of folks who had kids in that lifestyle they'd left because they found Jesus and they were excited about the freedom that they'd had. They'd been literally set free out of jail. I've never experienced worship like that, being in a room of 200 people that were excited beyond belief about their relationship with Jesus. And they saw it literally as giving them life. But it was also fascinating to just listen to how you get into that lifestyle. There's a book by Abigail Shire, it's real popular right now, called Irreversible Damage, about the whole transgender issue. And you go, that's crazy. I don't know anybody that's transgender. Well, what the deal is, take a lonely, isolated 14-year-old who spends most of their time on this and who announces on this that they are now transgender. Lo and behold, they have 400 new friends affirming them about how brave they are and how positive it is that they have taken a stand. And, oh, by the way, let us help you. Da, da, da. You get the picture? That's what's happening. The affirmation's incredible. And if you raise a question like, I'm not sure this is a legitimate kind of, what are you, transphobic? Come on. So you're either affirmed incredibly or you're punished incredibly, depending on what you post. You beginning to get the picture? That's what's happening. And so you take a normal 14-year-old who has great self-doubt and who's struggling because they spend all their time here. We'll get into all the less here in a minute. There's less drinking, less smoking, less sex among teenagers because of this. By the way, Abigail Shire's recommendations at the end of the book, after you look at the extent of what's going on in that, is her number one recommendation is take this away.
Yeah.
You go, whoa.
Yeah.
Talk about World War III. Number one recommendation. She's not a Christian, Abigail Shire. She's one of the top reporters for the Wall Street Journal. And what she did in the research for that book is equivalent to like a PhD dissertation. She interviewed 200 people. It's incredible. I really encourage you, if you want to understand what's happening in the transgender craze, to get the book, Irreversible Damage. It'll make you cry. Yes, right. Yeah, typically the craze is among wealthy or middle class Caucasian females. But there is some, the problem is there's very little research. At the conference was an MD from Washington University, where the St. Louis folks here, MD and PhD, taught in the medical school there, who went over all the research on transgenderism. There's very little research, a longitudinal research on transgenderism. And so most of what's being promulgated by the pro-transgender folks are lies. They're making it up, okay? Fascinating. That's one of the reasons I went to the conference, because I wanted to find out what's the truth. I'm from that generation that still believed there was truth. Yeah. Okay, let's see. So you'll hear the term gender fluid also instead of transgenderism. If you're interested in more on this, you might want to write down, it's not in your notes, Restored Hope Network. They're in Colorado Springs and Pauk. Restored Hope Network are doing some of the best work in, from a Christian standpoint, they're evangelical Christians, in terms of documenting what's going on and staying on top of the things. Okay, number six, moving on, overwhelmed. A pervasive sense of being a teenager today is a draining full-time job, including schoolwork, managing social media identity, fretting over career, climate change, sexism, racism, you name it. 68%, 2 out of 3, feel overwhelmed by everything they have to do each week. Wow. That's tough. Because when you feel overwhelmed, what are your resources for dealing with that? Seriously limited. So you take a situation where the perception is that I'm being crushed by everything in my life, and so why has the incidence of teen suicide doubled since 2012? Yeah. Serious implications of this. Yes, Emily. Right. Outside the home, you bet. The pressures. Yeah. Number seven, lonely. 3 million adolescents, 12 to 17, had a major depressive episode in the last year. And so you have the issue of overwhelmed. Your expectations now are creating this sense of anxiety. But at the same time, because you don't sense that you're succeeding in that, there's a serious depressive episodes that are happening. So when you take somebody that feels overwhelmed with anxiety and someone that's struggling with depression, even maybe suicidal or pre-suicidal, what does the parent do? They don't quit their job and nurture the kid. What do? Take them to the doctor. Right. Who does what? Prescribes a pill. Right. Yeah. So, that same mentality is also what's part of the damaging to the folks that identify as transgender. You heard of hormone blockers? Oh my. The damage done by that is incredible. Bone damage, blood clots, all kinds of other stuff. Anyway, so let's see. So primarily then, where is all of that pressure coming from? From social media. And your persona on social media. Okay, on the next page, page 2, progressive, most Gen Zers plan to get married, have children, buy a home, although probably much later than previous generations. I've already mentioned the less. Individualistic, Gen Zs are used to having everything personalized for them, from playlists to news feeds to products of all kinds. In Carl Truman's book that just came out in March called Strange New World, it's a book that lots and lots of people are reading, Strange New World, Carl Truman, he talks about expressive individualism. And that's basically what defines our culture today. Well, now wait a minute, you got anxiety and depression. Where's the support system if you're inundated by expressive individualism? There's no support system. No wonder people are struggling. No wonder teens are struggling in that. Because where's the support system? They're lonely. They're holed up with this instead of relationships with one another. What some of the therapeutic groups for teens have done is they do the backpacking. What did he used to call it? Outward bound kind of thing. Do the outward bound trips and no phone. Yeah, you have to have a relationship with somebody for a week. It's life transforming for the teens. If you look at the bottom of page 2, dates vary on Gen Z, you can see there, but this is from pooling research together, 5 common challenges. This is from Sean also, McDowell. Mental health issues, shame and emotional wounds, porn use, loneliness, and lack of biblical worldview. That's what characterizes Gen Z issues. We'll talk more about it here in just a minute. On the next page, page 3, in order to grow the number of Gen Z Christians, we need to understand ways to build bridges to this pluralistic, secular worldview, and encouraging to consider who God is, the grace of God. In the middle of the page, you see a reference to Sean McDowell's book, So the Next Generation Will Know. And again, summarizes some of the things from the other handout that Sean wrote, but digital multitaskers spending nearly every waking hour interacting with digital technology, often while watching television. Great. So what... The next one, what kind of attention span would that lead to? Number 2, impatient, quickly moving from thing to thing, attention span of around 8 seconds. Cute. Okay, number 3, fluid, constantly blurring lines between truth, gender, family structures, are all personal choices. And what Carl Truman explains is how our culture has separated truth from feelings, and feelings now rank much more important to the individual than truth, because truth is considered so personal that that's your truth, that's not my truth. And you go, let's see, here's my fist. If it hits your nose, is your truth going to be the same as mine? You know, I'm not trying to make fun of it, but the point being is this is rampant. So how do you have a conversation with someone about reality if they consider everything to be your personal perception of truth? It's very difficult. In a counseling situation, it's very difficult to get anywhere. So number 4, lonely, we've talked about. talks about, Sean points out, availability of endless counterfeits to claim to be able to fill their hearts with meaning. But it's all empty. And individualistic, we've talked about. Most of these young Americans are thoroughly secular with little exposure to Christian theology. They have endless amounts of information, but little wisdom and virtually no mentors. They enter early adulthood, culture around them will not encourage them to consider the claims of Christ. This particular handout is about how the church can help speak to those issues. In the middle of page 4, it says, as George Barna reports, the faith gap between millennials and their predecessors is the widest intergenerational difference identified at any time in the last 7 decades. It seems that Gen Z will increase this gap. That means we're dealing with something we've never seen before. And that's what makes it difficult for you and me in terms of recruiting these folks to help us on campus. But you'll see in a minute, if you want to reach Gen Zs, it takes Gen Zs to reach Gen Zs. Wow. And so that's why it's so critical for us from a campus ministry standpoint to be recruiting Gen Zs to help us in what it is that we're doing. Yeah.
Is it okay to ask a question?
Sure.
So, you know, I think one of the things that comes to my mind is, do we describe people from our international students the same way we would describe our American young people? Would they be the same?
Not exactly the same, but the trends are there because it's become worldwide. Okay? And so you'll see more in terms of the rest of the handouts, focusing on issues of worldview. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately it comes down to what's the worldview that you're dealing with? And it's a frustrating worldview for us as evangelical Christians to deal with.
How do you view some of the positives about Gen Z and the things that they're doing better than previous generations?
We're going to get to that.
Okay,
don't worry.
Are you a Gen Z?
Now
you can't see my face. You don't know how old I am.
She's not.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay. But in the decade, we're seeing a real reduction in the number of evangelicals as well. Self-professed evangelicals among ages 18 to 29 reduced from 30% down to 20%. Worldview promoted by our schools, media, and entertainment industry has changed from a Christian-inspired worldview to a worldview that is secular and specifically anti-Christian. And so that's, in fact, what's being absorbed, the environment that teens are living in. Top of page 5, almost all Gen Zs have been brought up hearing the worldview of scientism espoused. Consequently, apologetics is critical for opening minds to hear the truth of the gospel. Many need to understand the basic tenets of a Christian worldview can be true before they'll understand whether these tenets are true for them. Answering questions like, could there be a creator of the universe? Could that creator possibly be involved in this world that has so much pain and suffering? is a starting point. Are you familiar with Nancy Piercy's book, Total Truth?
Yes.
Yeah, great book in terms of the whole issues of dealing with truth claims. Really encourage you to look at that.
That's interesting. It seems contradictory to what you were talking about before, because you're saying that there's a focus on truth and scientific underpinnings, and yet you made a comment earlier about them.
Yeah, but the problem is there's not... it's easy for us to assume then that they would accept the tenets of science. Not necessarily, because everything is about how I feel about that. And we'll get into just a minute why relationships are critical. Basically, Gen Zs aren't going to hear you if you don't have a relationship. They're not even going to give you the time of day.
So there's an intellectual disconnect.
Yes. Yeah, and a naivete, and worse, a lack of wisdom and understanding, just in terms of what education is about. There is a commitment to education, but it's not producing the same results that we would expect it would. This is why, for instance, the M28 approach to Bible study is so helpful, because it's built on asking questions. If this is true, then what difference would it make?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're going to get to that. Exactly. Right. You bet. If we equip Gen Zs to embrace faith, we must directly discuss worldview issues with them. Challenges are exacerbated as most Gen Zs are taught redefine tolerance to not only accept classmates with different worldviews, Muslims, unaffiliated, whatever, but to believe that it's as true for them as your parents' worldview is for them. As Sean McDowell states, Gen Zs are exposed to more competing worldviews at an earlier age than any generation in history. Okay? So this new tolerance leads directly to a pluralistic view of salvation. A survey of American teens finds less than a third believe that there's only one religion that's true. So, in other words, all truth is personal truth. And you go, that's crazy. Where's that going to leave you? Compounding these issues is the growing practice of limiting the impact of religious beliefs on real life. Sean points out the biggest challenge in teaching worldview to young people is the way our increasingly secular culture fosters the compartmentalization of faith. We need to help them see how a consistent Christian worldview applies to all issues. It's foolish to separate your spiritual beliefs from life decisions. So as an example, many Gen Zs are enamored with a socialistic view of government and should provide everything we need, equally distributing goods and services to all. A professor at SMU there in Dallas, along with a co-author, just wrote a book where they examined seven different socialist societies, and they titled the book, Socialism Sucks. It's for real. Yeah, you might want to have that one if you get into the discussion and say, well, it's interesting, these profs actually did the research on these, and you might want to consider that before you so glibly promote the tenets of socialism.
But isn't that in part driven by the negative effects of capitalism?
Yes, right. And the distrust of organizations, distrust of whatever their parents embraced, and the emptiness that they've seen in the Christian walk of their parents. Exactly. That's what we're going to get into now, is the whole relational aspect of that. If you want to reach Gen Zs, you've got to have a relationship. That's why something, again, like M28 is so helpful, because it's in a group situation, it's no stress, and it's open for inquiry. In the middle of page 6, it says, as Sean McDowell points out, we need to teach the difference between subjective and objective truth claims and make sure that they understand Christianity falls in the latter category. Sean encourages a focus on relationships, saying, relationships are the runway on which truth lands. Take the time to listen with empathy, monitor from a place of wisdom, demonstrate your concern. If we want to know the truth, we have to teach, model, and incarnate truth in our relationships with them. From a place of relationship, we can address challenges keeping them from truly hearing the gospel. So the two things that come out of that are, you have to have a relationship, and then secondly, ask a lot of questions. It's not about you making truth claims and them going, oh yeah, got it, uh-huh. But instead about opening discussions. Yes, several questions. Ruth.
Can you comment, maybe you will, so if I'm jumping the gun, let me know.
relationship looks like, because my experience is that they speak a different language than we do in our generation. And so there needs to be a bridge in that gap, because, you know, the way that I approach things, I mean, they laugh at things and I go, whoa, I missed the joke. What was it?
Yeah.
I have no idea what
it
was. So can you address, like, the methods of communication, like how those kind of gaps get filled?
We're going to talk about a little... Yeah, hardly. The answer in a short is authenticity. That's what's missing. And what's,
they don't think we're authentic.
Right. That's why, that's where we have to, that's where the rubber meets the road, to be sure. Yes, Jeff.
So with Generation Zers, then is that where the core issue lies then, is that for Gen Zers, the relationships are entirely different structure. Friend somebody, unfriend somebody. There's no deep relationships there, and so they don't have that model anymore to follow.
And there's a deep thirst for affirmation.
Right.
Yeah, that's the sucking sound that sucks so many of the teens into the transgender deal, is because of the offer of relationships and affirmation.
Right. Which is
But it's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out empty. That's what I heard from the folks that have come out of the lifestyle, thank you, Jesus, that I was duped. You know, that there were a whole bunch of people that that encouraged me that were lying.
It's like a new generation of the casual sex lie.
Uh-huh, yeah. But it's basically, it was a lie. Yeah, Linda.
You say there's
I'm sorry?
Yes,
deep need to belong, because there's a incipient loneliness that's there. Okay, let's see. At the bottom of page 6, Keyways White's church is connecting with unaffiliated. Rethinking evangelism around Paul's message in Athens, tantalizing those with no background to search for the truth in Christ. Teaching the grace-truth dynamic in quick segments, consistent with their learning styles, being cultural missionaries, learning from those who've not been Christians, and cultivating a culture of invitation by creating tools to invite friends all the time. But you see the relational base of all of those suggestions in that. And finally, at the bottom, if we devote ourselves to prayer, leadership of the Holy Spirit, teaching the lost in America, rather than continuing church as usual, God can use that to turn the tide. And again, bottom line, people don't come out of this apart from prayer. They don't come out apart from a deep basis of prayer. And so, as you heard from the video that Roy did this morning, most ministries these days are coming up with a new awareness. You know, Ian Bounds nailed it, but coming up with a new awareness of the critical nature of prayer. Because what we're up against, reasoning and rational arguments just don't do it anymore. It takes a supernatural change of the person's heart to even be willing to hear or to have the kinds of relationships that would result in that.
Uh-huh. And similar, you know, how much do we see this evident in
international
as well?
The answer is from what I've been able to read, there are tendencies in that direction, but there's just not any real research available on it.
Because I've been thinking, as we're trying to renovate and reinvigorate our ministry.
Uh-huh.
The mechanisms to do that seem to be different than they were years ago.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, are we as ISI looking at, I know there's an innovation group, are we looking at that kind of mechanism offering some help for the different field ministries to help reach out to the university students using those kinds of tools?
Well, that's what this workshop's about. you know, kind of thing, taking some initial steps in that. The problem is right now, nobody's an expert except Truman here, because he's a Gen Z. Okay, page 10 real quick. We're almost through the didactic part. We spend more time, this is written by a Gen Z. We spend more time online, go outside less, and care about wildly different things than our parents did when they were kids. We might look at these habits and think that these habits are just a phase, we'll grow out of it. We won't. At the time I'm writing, I'm 22, I still watch a ton of YouTube. Even post-graduation, my classmates spend a ton of time on Instagram and TikTok. None of us plan on making any changes to these, make these a smaller part of our lives. So his suggestion as a Gen Z to us is, number one, I watch who I want when I want. What does that mean? Well, as he says here, what the church might do, 10 seconds of boring is enough to lose a Gen Z viewer. Great. Okay, so what are we doing in terms of social media kinds of things that are short, pithy, to the point, to make an argument? It's not cheap. Ministry I volunteer with is looking to do an air campaign, social media campaign, to reach Gen Z females about issues of consequences of choices sexually that they make. They're raising $2.5 million to get started on that campaign right now. Yeah, that's what we're up against. To have a national campaign that produces the kind of media, we're working with one of the top PR firms in the U.S. to do that, costs a fortune. But we also are mobilizing a prayer base that would be effective. Yeah?
What are they going to use?
I didn't hear you.
What are they going to use to reach them? TikTok or what?
I don't know. Right now, they're in the, it'll start in 2023, and right now they're in the research phase of that. And tomorrow is a meeting to bring us up to speed on the research, and I'm not going to be able to be there because of a workshop. So I don't know, but I'll find out.
So the bottom line is that repackaging existing content, which tends to be our basic habit often on
right.
the street,
isn't going to do it. Right, exactly. That's the point.
You know, there's another thought about that. Is I had another thought about that. I have a granddaughter that came through church, was in the youth group, she was a leader, and all this stuff, and then she got to college, and that all went out the window. And the issue is what the teaching is going on.
Right.
The school promotes that, because we've had international students come up and say, I'm feeling, you know, like I don't think I'm a girl anymore, I'm a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and they, you know, they're saying that, and they're getting that from our teaching here in the United States. So that's the scary part about that. If they can turn, our kids that are Christian to this, then
I just read some universities are offering cross-sex hormones for students that want to transition for $10 a month. Great. Number two, if you want me to follow you for a long time, I need to get to know you. And this is, again, touching on the relational aspect of that. If you want a Gen Z to trust you with our time and subscription, we need to trust you. Churches should be producing more personal content, not less. I thought, for instance, it was interesting, Simon's talk this morning, I thought was such a good model for the authenticity, the transparency, and things like that, as he was sharing himself. People actually want to hear who you are. They want to hear what's true in your life and how you got there, your story. Sorry, I need to hurry here. Number three, I've been trained to view myself as a brand. Thanks to Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, I've grown up viewing myself as my own brand. I don't think this is a mindset is healthy, but I do think it's accurate. If you want to reach the me-centered generation, show us what's in it for us. Show us how to join your movement, not just to build your platform. So social justice is a big issue for Gen Zs. Making a difference in the community, a real difference, is a big deal. And so maybe the use of service projects in the community might be a way to pull Gen Zs together to work with you. Gen Zs listen to Gen Zs who know how to communicate with Gen Zs. You and I struggle with that, seriously struggle. Anyway, says it's still cool to avoid my parents' generation online. So whatever is popular with you and me is not popular today. For taking new ground on new apps like TikTok, let young staff members or young volunteers take the lead. Let the student ministry put effort towards experimental apps, and the average age of the app's user increases, begin to add adult-focused content. So in other words, just even the development of new apps talks about the short lifespan of apps and how once our generation begins to use that app, how that's the end of it for Gen Zs. Diversity. Young adults aren't leaving the church, they're leaving the white church. Thought that was an interesting comment. Number six, my mental health issues aren't going away. Wow, this is a big issue. Just again, the anxiety and depression, struggles from growing up in an unstable family are a big, big deal. Mission agencies today are really wrestling with the issue that most of the people that come apply need therapy, not a role as a missionary kind of thing. It's difficult. Number seven, when I talk to my non-Christian friends about church, I usually need to lead with an apology. You can read for yourself that. Okay, a couple other comments, and then we'll get to work on what to do. Gen Z is going to represent 82 million people in 2026. Right now, there are 80 million children in the U.S., 250 million adults for a total of 330 million adults. 80 million, well, that means in just 4 years, they'll all be Gen Zs. Wow. Serious implications. Digital sophistication is frighteningly advanced. Gen Z grew up swiping before they could talk. Let's see. Freedom of expression is essential to Gen Zs. Education is not a lost cause, but it talks about the importance of people having the freedom to express themselves. I'll stop there. I've got a few more odds and ends, but it's not as critical as what we've talked about. This is a workshop, so now it's time to get to work. So if you would, with three or four people around you, how will this info on Gen Zs impact how you structure and do ministry in the academic year 2022-2023? In other words, this next academic year, how is what you've learned today going to impact how you're going to change your ministry to recruit Gen Zs and to use Gen Zs as part of your ministry? Okay, go ahead and take the next, take the next 15 minutes to discuss that, and then we'll come back, share, and then we'll be finished.